Hello once again and welcome to Musings on Golf. I'm Kelly Elbin and my good friend and partner is Bob Bupka, the voice of golf for Talk Sport. Bob, as we continue PGA of America month here in November, we welcome in PGA of America professional Jason Caron, who has gone from being a head professional at a terrific club on Long Island, Mill River Club, to also adding his playing credentials for 2025 on the PGA Tour Champions. What an amazing story that Jason Caron has authored this year, Robert.
You know what's amazing? It is an amazing story, to say the least. But there are so many PGA club professionals that are amazing stories in their own right. I mean, every time you meet one of these guys, you get a keener appreciation of what they have to do. You know, it's not easy being first there at the pro shop and having all the members happy. But Jason Caron is a story that people are going to enjoy hearing, no doubt about that.
Being the son of a renowned PGA club professional, I absolutely love your appreciation and passion for those men and women who really drive our game, Bob, right? The day in and day out. And in his case, we just finished that interview. I was so impressed with him. And you can understand why someone like Jason Caron is able to hold down a job at a really good private club on Long Island and play really well against the very best on the 50 and over group.
Yeah, really good club is putting it very mildly. It's exceptional. It's well taken care of. They have, Jason Caron is the head professional. Doesn't get much better than him. But in all honesty, the near 31,000 club professionals in this country, they all deserve credit. A lot of them don't get in the limelight, but they put in long days, hard days, and their only goal is to make the members happy. And obviously, Jason is doing a wonderful job at that.
We're going to hear from Jason Caron, a terrific interview that Bob and I had. That'll come up in just a minute. When we come back after the commercial, after the break, Bob and I are going to chat for just a minute or so about the massive changes to the PGA Tour starting in 2026. But first, messages and words from our patrons, and then you'll hear a terrific talk with Jason Caron. Our friends at William & Harry are always looking for ways to stand out in the crowd. So for anyone who belongs to a country club, William & Harry can have your shoes private labeled to fit your specific needs. The same applies to your company or any organization you might be affiliated with. This makes you a clear winner. Why? Well, you have a better quality shoe that feels great, and you have the logo of your club, company, or organization on your shoes that really makes you stand out on the golf course. To learn more, visit williamandharry.com today and be sure to input our promotional code 15OFF, M-O-G, for a 15% discount at williamandharry.com.
Titleist is the number one ball in golf. Yes, being number one is a number, and more players trust the Pro V1 or Pro V1X than all other golf balls combined. But being number one is more than a number. It's a mindset. It's a relentless mission to design and manufacture the best performing golf balls in the game, so you can chase whatever your number one is. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
Bob, we have said many times over that great stories and terrific storytelling are why Musings on Golf exists in the first place. And I got to tell you, our special guest today is a remarkable story himself. Having started 2024 as a PGA of America head professional at a great club, Mill River, on Long Island, and finished the golf season adding yet another title, that of a card-carrying member of the 2025 PGA Tour champions. Improbable? Incredible? So many adjectives to describe the marvelous journey experienced by Jason Kerin this year, and what a thrill to welcome him to Musings on Golf. Jason, I imagine you still are pinching yourself a little bit after everything that's happened in 2024.
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me. This is an honor to be on the show. And, this season has been more than anyone would ever thought could happen, to be honest. And it's still kind of, almost surreal that this did happen to me. And partially, I guess, is because when we started the year, I knew I was going to be able to play in the senior PGA, and that's really it. And we wanted to showcase what mom and dad to our little kids, what we used to do, and to have it all work out the way it did, and where we are now, it's almost mind boggling. I did tell somebody that it's almost like hitting the lottery, to be honest, because this just doesn't really happen. And to happen to me, it's been really cool to experience it. And I'm just grateful.
Hey, Jason, Bob Bupka. First off, on a couple of fronts, let me congratulate you on being the head professional at what I consider one of the finest golf courses on Long Island, Mill River. And I've been close friends with PGA professionals for a long time. Their workload is mind-boggling. You've handled that workload and honed your playing skills well enough to get your card for the upcoming Champions Tour. Congratulations on both fronts, actually.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I think work is a little bit easier, to be honest, when I'm at Mill River, because I kind of understand where I need to do each day. Adding this golf tournament schedule, especially on the Champions Tour, is a lot different. Obviously, you got to get on an airplane, you got to pack, you're away from your family. There's a lot of moving parts, and then you're still trying to keep in touch with everybody at work to make sure everything is going well. So, it is a little bit of a juggling act, but, I guess I went on instincts. I think that was probably the word of the year was instincts. When it comes to playing, right? Because I did it for so long when I was young. I always wanted to be on the PGA Tour, and that was my dream when I was probably like around 12, 13 years old. I was fortunate enough to make that happen. I wish I'd probably dreamed bigger, to be honest, to say maybe I could win on the tour. But, so I guess golf part of me was still in there. I dug it out this year. I don't know exactly how it happened, but being able to juggle a little bit is a little bit of a task, but it's been phenomenal. It really has been.
Jason, I can only imagine you walking down the range, and coming from the other direction is Bernhard Langer, and you say, "Bernhard, that's my spot."
That would take a lot of courage if I did that, but I will kind of answer maybe a question that may pop up. It's that the guys have been really fantastic. They've been super supportive. They've been needling me a little bit about, hey, can't you find a member guest to go back to so you can stop taking some of the money from us? But they've been super, super good to me. I actually had Bernhard Langer's caddy in Jacksonville for the Furyk. And, it was great having Terry on the bag. I learned a ton from him, and I can see why he and Bernie are so successful out there on the Champions Tour.
Yeah, I ran into Bernhard not too long ago, and I said, have you put on any weight over the last year or so? And Bernhard says, 5 pounds. I said, really? He says, yeah, but it's all muscle.
I wouldn't shock me. The guys, one other neat thing out there is how some of the guys, there's a handful, and I wouldn't say every one of them, but there's a handful that really, really take this as a job, when I mean as in like 8 hours a day. And Bernhard would definitely be one of them. VJ's out there a lot. Darren Clark I see out there. These guys are honing their skills constantly, and they're not young guys anymore, and they they whatever they've done to succeed has really shown. When I watch these guys out there, I'm like, man, I just got done playing a pro-am and they're still out there. I mean, that's impressive.
I'll give you one bit of advice I got from David Frost. I said, it was a good friend of mine. I said, David, you know, really, what's the secret to the Champions Tour? And he said, fitness. He said, the guys that are the most fit out here, they're the guys that do well. So I know that's never been a problem for you, but you might want to keep that as one of the focal points as you go into your Champions Tour career.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that's something, you know, staying healthy is a big deal out there for sure. You know, this year we were able to go to a bunch of events, even the ones they didn't get in. I was first alternate a couple of times, so I flew out. And just, you don't get to do a lot, so you hit a lot of golf balls, you hit a lot of chips, a lot of putts, and I've noticed that on my left forearm, the top of it got a little aggravated. So I guess it's wear and tear as you get older. It's a lot easier to, you know, have a little bit of these aches and pains, as they say.
Hey, Jason, I wonder if you could maybe just kind of walk our listeners through a little bit of what happened this year. So in 2023, you finished tied for 32nd in the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship. That finish got you into the 2024 KitchenAid Senior PGA at Harbor Shores in Benton Harbor. And obviously, it's one of the four major championships, the PGA of America's crown jewel for senior golf. That was in May. That's when your good run of play started. You tied for fourth, low PGA of America professional honors. Talk a little bit about that week and then what happened in terms of all the great play going forward.
Sure. Yeah. So I went down to Florida to do the qualifier back in October, I guess, of 23. For the PGA of America, and I actually got in extra holes. I birdied the first playoff hole, which was, you know, I've been pretty fortunate enough in playoffs, so I actually felt pretty good in that playoff to get through. And then I went to Michigan, and, you know, again, we tried to keep it as a little more low-key, a family trip. My brother was caddying for me. My mom and dad came out. I had cousins. Liz and my two girls, Caroline and Julia, were there. And we really wanted to make it as a family trip, if you will, and the golf would have been, you know, a little bit more secondary. I wasn't playing great leading into it, but I did have a nice little run with our Met section event where it was match play event. And I had just switched to this split grip putter that I had used probably like 10 years ago. And it just kind of felt pretty good in my hands during that match play event, and I played pretty well. I actually lost in the final, so I felt a little bit of confidence going into it, the senior PGA. And when I got there, the golf course, I thought, man, this place is a little tricky, but I can see someone playing well if you could place the ball into the little sections of the green, because you could have a lot of close birdie putts. If you didn't, then you were going to struggle on the greens. Well, I mean, who would have known going into Saturday? I made the cut pretty, I'm not going to say easily, but I had a cushion there. And Saturday, things started to change. I started to hit the shots a little closer. I drove it a little better, made some nice putts. And then I'm in like, I forget, maybe the second or third to last group. And on that last round, I was 6 under through my first 10 holes. And I felt very comfortable out there. It was not like super nervous or anything like that. I just felt super comfortable. And, you know, next thing you know it, the day, as it just kind of went along, I could see my family on the sides walking and just made me feel comfortable out there and tie for fourth. Then when we get done with that, KitchenAid, which was the reason I want to bring this up, because KitchenAid was very, very nice to the BJ professional who was low, and you get a kitchen that they supply for you, and we're putting it in right now. The guys are downstairs as we speak, getting things ready to put everything in. So it's quite a bonus from KitchenAid. I couldn't thank them enough. And then so from there, they basically told me, the tour told me, listen, you're still not a member. You don't get it the next tournament because it's a PGA event. It's not the PGA Tour event. So they said, but just hang in there. The Furyk event, I mean, the Stricker event, there's an outside chance you could get in. And then after that, come July 1st, there will be a current moneyless category that you'll be an alternate. In Calgary would probably be the event you could get in. You know, we'll just have to see. So I end up playing, yeah, Long Island Open. This is kind of an interesting story. And it was the second round and I'm playing well and my truck was right. I mean, I could see it. And I just happened to look at my phone and my good friend, Kevin Johnson, who I played PJ Tour and the Corn Ferry Tour, who's also from Massachusetts. He goes and says to me through a text, because he's now a Champions Tour official, hey, you're first alternate right now. You might want to come out. I said, okay. So I saw my truck, jumped in, it flew out, got in the next morning in the event and played pretty solid. From there, I had everything going on at Mill River. You know, we had our club championships. We had our member. And after the club championship, the very next week is Calgary. And I happened to be third alternate. And I kind of called my buddies again out there that I know, Brett Quigley and Kevin Johnson. They said, listen, you're going to get in. You should just go. I said, okay. So booked a ticket, flew out on Monday morning, get in the event. When I got there, I played a practice round. And I remember just when I was driving around, I could just see the golf course fit my eye. And everything about that golf course was like, wow, I'm going to play well this week. I don't know. That doesn't happen too often. And tied for third. So now things start to open up. I mean, now it's like, wow, you're really pretty high on the money list. And the playoffs, it looks pretty comfortable. You'll get in at least the first one. So I got in the next week in Michigan, just had an okay week, nothing fantastic, but I played okay. And then everything went quiet again, not going to get in anything. We sent some emails to the tournament directors. And then I decided to do like a more of a heartfelt email as we got closer to October. And I just stated it to like the Furyk event. I just said, listen, I know I'm not a household name, but you know, it's a pretty neat story that a PGA professional could have this opportunity. I'm right on the cusp to getting some type of status. A start would be huge. And a couple of days later, I got a call from the Furyk event. And they said, Jason, we want to be part of this story and would love to have you. And I happened to be out in Oregon getting ready for the senior PGA again, the qualifier. So I could kind of play in that event kind of free. Because I'm already exempt for the senior PGA. Sure enough, I get in and play well again and tie for fourth. So again, things start to open up. Now again, it looks like, shoot, now you're definitely going to be into the top 54. And I birdied my last three holes in Richmond to get in for sure to the top 54, which would have been in Little Rock, and Little Rock tie for third. So now everything is really fast forward, and now I'm into the finals in the top 36. And it's just been a crazy run, but you know, the opportunities that popped up, you know, I can't thank my friends out there that helped me, you know, push me to say, hey, listen, these are the spots you're going to probably get into. And then obviously for a Furyk event, for them to give me that opportunity with a sponsor exemption was huge.
And then getting to that top 36 in the Charles Schwab Club Championship, that got you your tour card for next year. Is that correct?
Yeah. So once I got through Richmond, Little Rock, I tied for third. It was pretty neat. It was neat because once I signed my card, there was a computer over by the corner, and I just said, I was about to walk out and I'm like, what number am I? And they go, you're number 34. And I'm like, wow, number 34. I'm like, that's interesting. So as soon as I opened the door, one of the media guys was right there. And he says, Jason, I got to take you over. They want to talk to you. I'm like, okay. So all these kids, and Little Rock did an amazing job. Simmons Bank was amazing. They had probably, they must've been 20,000 people. I'm not kidding you, on Saturday and Sunday there. I mean, just a great venue. They put on a great show, and people were really, really into their golf. And when I opened the door and the guy was to take me, there was a ton of kids there. You know, can I get your glove? Can I get your ball? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, guys, I'll be right back. Let me go do this interview. So when I went over to the interview, they started to ask me all these quick questions about what does it mean? And this and that. I'm like a deer in headlights. I'm like, it's pretty ridiculous that I'm even standing here talking to you about this because I really don't know how this happened. I'm going to fast forward a quick sec. When I got back to my hotel, I saw a couple. I had 175 messages or something, text messages. And when I was looking through, a couple of my friends were like, man, I never wished a putt to be missed so bad on the 18th hole than Fujita, I think is how you say his last name. He had like an 8-footer. And I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Like, they interviewed me. I was 34th. So after I read a couple of those, I looked on the points list and I finished 35th at the time. And now I'm like, what are they talking about this 8-footer? So then I kind of got a replay of what happened. So after they kind of gave me my interview before there was actually a putt that actually could have kicked me out. So thank goodness he missed it. Because the interview was actually pretty, it made me, like, again, deer in headlights a little bit, but it was pretty cool to have that interview and have the thought of I did qualified to have a tour card for the following season.
Hey, Jason, I think listening to your story, which is a fabulous one, I know you have to be highly appreciative that KitchenAid was the sponsor rather than a cemetery company, since you got a free kitchen. And your second break, which a lot of people don't realize, when you compete in the med section, you're competing against some of the finest pros in the business. I mean, everybody always says and refers to the med section as being the largest group of, you know, very talented club professionals, obviously because the money is so good, so they're only going to get the best. But you lucked out on two occasions there, my friend. I'd much rather have that kitchen going in than a cemetery plot.
No, you're right. That's a great analogy. I like that. But yeah, so when you're talking about the Met section, I mean, I think that's what the Met section prides himself on, is they have, you know, probably the best playing professionals in the country that they can actually work the job, take care of the membership, run golf shops, take care of their staff. You know, if you need to take members on trips, and then to be able to compete at that high level with our great sponsors. I mean, it's just a hats off to the Met section, you know, golf professionals, that it does keep everybody sharp. I mean, you got Pete Ballow this year shot, I think, 10 under par at Bethpage Black in the State Open. And I played this year, and I thought the golf course played about as good as I've seen it play. And I got to play the U.S. Open there in 02. In 19, I played the PGA. And, of course, those 2 years, the rough is probably a little bit nastier, but when I tell you it wasn't much easier, and you shot 10 under, I mean, all you can do is take your hat off and say, wow. I mean, and that's the client, if you want to say, I want to know a clientele, but that's the professionals you're playing against each and every week when we have our events. It's not easy to qualify for any of the events we play in. At the end of the year, you know, they have the Farley Cup, which is the best players in Westchester against the best players on Long Island. It's a goal of mine since I got in the section is to be in that, you know, in that event. And I think that most of us that are in that event actually say that same exact goal to start the season. When we're there at the Farley Cup, we know we're in, you know, a class of our own, if you will, because these guys are just so good. And it's great to have the Met section be able to get up, you know, like I said, grab these sponsors to back us. It's really just a great spot.
Jason, let me ask you this. Maybe you can help a club pro out there. How do you go about balancing being a club professional with competing on the Champions Tour?
Yeah, I think, again, I mean, listen, back in my day, that's what I wanted to be, was a playing professional. I did it for a bunch of years. So I was very fortunate. So I think deep down, I still had that instincts in there that kind of came out this year. But I think it's really being able to, you know, schedule and everything. I'm a scheduler. In fact, we just bought them yesterday. We have calendars. I look at my calendar. I plan out my calendar. And then when it comes to lessons, like, I have the ability to run my golf shop, run our events, and be around. So if I need to sneak out and hit some putts on a Saturday morning for an hour, I can. And I kind of want to do that every Saturday morning, every Sunday morning, because I want to be available, have the members see me. They'll ask me questions on what I'm working on, you know, what's going on, where do you play next? So I think, you know, just being able to do those little things and be able to take your time. And sometimes it's only a half hour and you just go out and you hit some wedge shots. You got to be able to take that half hour and zone in for yourself and be a little selfish that way, where you have to be able to get a little bit of that that practice in, so you know deep down when you do play an event, whether it's a week or two later, it'll be there for you. I think it's just time management is the key. I don't like sitting down. I like to be moving and doing things, so I'm constantly trying to figure ways to keep my day productive.
Hey, we're delighted to be joined by PGA of America club professional Jason Caron, who has earned his card in the most amazing of ways onto the 2025 PGA Tour Champions. You know, I've got to think, knowing some that I know of the Met PGA section and the clubs there, it has to be a real source of pride for the members at your club that our guy has been able to balance these two, and he's going to play at the highest level of senior golf next year.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, with this interview and other interviews, they've asked me similar questions. And, you know, again, my first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to say, I thank the Mill River family for giving me this opportunity, because without them, I wouldn't be here playing golf, being on interviews like this. They have always had a tradition of having some good players as head golf professionals. So fortunate enough that when Liz and I had our interview, it was a playing interview that kind of fit us pretty easy. And obviously my wife, I'm sure a lot of the viewers know that she was a standout when she was a junior. She played, four years at Duke. They won a national championship, I think twice. So, I mean, she played 10 major championships. So, for us, the playing part was pretty easy. It was more of the getting to know the members, getting to know what they want, you know, run events. So, you know, without them, Mill River, this probably wouldn't happen. So just, again, kudos to them for, you know, letting us do this. But yeah, it's been great seeing the members come in saying, wow, we can't wait to see you play again next year. This has been an amazing run. So proud of you. And I just, you know, I just try to deflect it a little bit, because, again, I just kind of say thank you, because this is only happened because of you.
This interview didn't come free of charge. You have to get my man, Kelly Elbin, to experience Mill River, and he would know much more of what we're talking about. I just had a guy, Phil Sandbar, who spent a tremendous amount of time as a media official on the Champions Tour. He got an opportunity to play it. He was blown away, just like everybody that plays Mill River. To me, it's just so amazing. There's so many great clubs and so many great club professionals that, you know, it almost seems like an injustice when you pick out one, because right next door, there's probably another one and another one. And to be a club pro in the Met section is quite an accomplishment in itself.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think that's where we kind of separate ourselves, I believe, again, with our playing ability in this section. But in the section alone, listen, you got New York City right there. That's the hub, right? So to be blessed with this real estate in Westchester and Long Island, I tell people, I go, you have in 2025, we have Bethpage, we have the Ryder Cup. 26, we have Shinnecock for the U.S. Open. 28, we have the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. I mean, I could take a jet ski from my club and get over to Wingfoot in like 15 minutes. So you're talking a mecca for real estate for golf courses here. And it's just really amazing that we have that. And back to Mill River, you know, when we did our interview, we came up and we saw this unbelievable driving range that they have. And we're like, wow, and it's huge and it's grass. I mean, you don't see that on a lot of spots. They have a wedge area as well that they have, like, you know, we have really 3.5 greens that we hit wedge shots to with bunkers, a chipping green, a putting green. And then you got 2 9 holes that are totally different. You have a 9 hole that's relatively flat. And then you go on the back 9 with you got all these nice rolling hills. So, you know, we keep the golf course in great shape. The members love it. The guests love it. It's just a little bit off the beaten path to find Mill River, if you will, down Mill River Road. But once you get there, I mean, I only hear great things. People love it. And hopefully they'll continue to love it.
Well, Jason, it strikes me that there's great irony to your story this year in that from a playing standpoint, I mean, that was 20 years ago at the top level for you. And you kind of, that almost a previous life. I mean, you played what, more than 230 combined events on what is now the Korn Ferry Tour, as well as the PGA Tour, but you made the decision to kind of set that to the side and become a head professional. What was that? First of all, was that a difficult thing psychologically to sort of realize, okay, maybe I'm not good enough, but also I might have a heck of an opportunity in a great area to take care of my family for years?
Yeah, it's a great question. So Liz and I, when we met down in Jupiter, Florida, and I won't get to too many details, but you know, she decided that, listen, I'm done with playing. I want to get into the teaching side. She had some connections through Connecticut, in the New York Met, you know, the Met section area. So she's fortunate enough to get a job at Rock Rimmon. And, you know, she got up here and I was kind of tinkering still with playing. We just got married. I kind of came up. I looked at what she was doing and I was like, you know what? I could kind of do this too, I think. So I was done with golf that year playing. And it's hard to let go of something that I dreamed about for my, you know, since, again, at a younger age.
Sure.
And the opportunity to be in the Met section is the spot to be, especially when you're significant other is up there. So, you know, I was fortunate enough that Cy Illinois Country Club, Grant Turner, who's the head golf professional at the time, you know, he played, I want to say, close to 10 years on the European tour. So when he interviewed me, saw my resume, he kind of saw himself in me, is what he told me. And he says, you know what? I like a player. You have, there's that word instincts on how to teach and this and that. You don't have to be working from a clean or any of those guys. But you do this every day when you're in pro-ams and you're around other professionals. So, you know, I'm going to give you a chance. And after the first year, he told me, he said, Jason, you'll have a job within 2 years. And I'm like, really? He goes, yep, you have exactly what it takes to do that. And I said, okay, well, you know, let's see if I can get my PGA stuff done by then. And we were having a baby. We had Caroline. And sure enough, I got right through it. The PJ stuff. And sure enough, in the second year after he's told me, I got a job at Mill River. I got the head pro job.
Well, Mill River was the lucky one, that's for sure.
Well, thank you. We feel lucky too. We feel blessed to be there. It's just an amazing place and an amazing membership.
Hey, Bob, before you ask the next question, I sort of want to just follow up with Jason for a second. I mentioned about the 230 or so tour events that you played in. Is there a really good story you have from one of those events, whether it was a funny story, a story where you played well, something that stands out over that time?
Listen, I mean, I had a lot of crazy things happen to me over time. You know, I can think back of travel and I can think back of shots and stuff like that. But, you know, I think my time out there was amazing. I was single at the time, right? I didn't have a family. So being able to travel and go different places. In the first year, I got to spend time with my brother, Nate, who caddied for me, which was amazing. But I can do this. I get my tour card, but I'll back it up 15 minutes. So we were at Doral, and my brother was caddying. This is before any computers and stuff like that that you're following. You're just looking up at the TV because it's on the Golf Channel. And I think I was at 8 under par, and we had to wait till the last group to finish. And they go to commercial. But before they go to commercial, the guy that had the putt, he was to go to 9 under, right? He had a birdie putt. He has to go to 9 under so he could kick me out. So my brother's going back and forth to the bar, just telling the bartender, like, be ready. If this guy misses this putt, I need 4 beers ASAP. So my brother's not talking to me. I'm not talking. But I was looking at the TV, and as soon as the TV comes on, they didn't even show the putt. They just go, congratulations to everybody, 8 under par. You have a PGA Tour card. Wow. Brother doesn't even, like, congratulate me. He goes right to the bar. He gets 4 beers. He comes back. We're celebrating. It was just so, it's so cool to be able to have that experience, especially with your brother. It was really neat. But, you know, that was probably one of the happiest days, I think, because I knew that, listen, that was my goal for, you know, like I said, for a long time. So that was pretty cool.
One last thing for me.
Fabulous.
I owe you an apology. I had heard that you were going to be a nice guy and that you'd be a good interview. I underestimated not only your knowledge, how you relate to people, the story with your wife, Jason, PGA prides itself on quality people, and you set one fine example, and I only wish you the best.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey, two final quick questions from me before Bob bids you a formal farewell. What's the best part of your game right now? Is it putting? Is it short game? What is it?
Yeah, I think statistically, it would probably say my putting was pretty good this year. And I went to a split grip. I kind of say it's almost like hockey stick style, and
yeah,
it works for me. I actually had Vijay Singh ask me some questions about it, which was neat. And then I see on the putting green, I saw Rocco Mediate and out there in Phoenix, and Rocco comes over to me and he's like, man, I just want to congratulate you. What a story, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, and Vijay can't stop talking about how great you putt. So that was pretty neat. But yeah, I think that deep down though, when I look at myself, I think that I wedge the ball well. It's interesting when I'm inside like 50 yards, 50 to like 30 yards, I feel like I could be better in that yardage. But once I get outside of that yardage, I feel like I'm really good. And when I'm wedging it well, I feel like the rest of my game is kind of close and I seem to play well. And I think that when I'm knocking down that flag stick a lot with those wedges, it shows that, you know, I'm close to playing really super well.
Hey, one other question I want to add. Sorry on this, Bob. What's your schedule early for next year? I know that the Mill River Club probably won't open until, you know, what, March or so. Are you planning to play some PGA Tour Champions events early in the year before things get started at your club?
Yes. So we're still in the process of going through our schedule, but, you know, they gave me the blessing to say, hey, listen, we want you to play. We want you to take this opportunity. Which is great. Obviously we know in the Northeast, our weather really doesn't get good until May. And that's why we don't have an event until then. So what my plan is to play as much as I can until May. And then in May, we'll have to see what is open. Obviously, the senior PGA is something that they'll obviously let me go play in. And most likely the majors throughout the summer. I'm really looking forward to going over to England to play. I've never played an event over there. So, play a British Open is going to be a lot of fun. And then, you know, once I get through Club Championship, which is August like 12th and around on that date, that frees me up again because we aerate usually Labor Day week. So once that happens, we kind of take the last couple weeks of August and don't schedule any events. And then at least 3 weeks in September, we don't really schedule anything big for club events. So I'll have a good 5 or 6 week window in there as well. Excuse me. And what's nice about Champions Tour is they do play typically like 3 weeks on, 1 week off. So I should be able to play, I would think, quite a few events this year. Again, we'll work some things out with Mill River just to make sure that everything is set in place. But yeah, it should be a great season.
Hey, by the way, being a DC guy, I know the 25 senior PGA will be at Congressional. That will be a very formidable test since they've Andrew Green and his group completely redid that golf course, man. Hey, final question. It's a pleasure for me to ask this every week. If you could round out a dream foursome, if you will, three other players who you could sort of play a magical round of golf with, whether those individuals are still with us or they're deceased, who would they be? Who would those three be? And where would you play?
Well, my grandfather, on the Karen side of the family, I didn't get to know him. And he, when I was a kid, I remember seeing a set of clubs in the basement, and my grandfather wore the grip so much down that you could see his like thumbprint in it. So, and I don't think he was a very good golfer, but he loved golf. So it's kind of interesting how I became a golfer. I always said I love to play golf with Jesus because I'd have a lot of questions for him. And then Arnold Palmer. When I was a kid, I always liked Arnold Palmer. I always wanted to meet Arnold Palmer. And unfortunately, I never got to, even when I played the tour. I got to meet Nicklaus. He was phenomenal. But I always wanted to meet Arnold Palmer. And to where to play, I mean, listen, there's been some great spots that I got to play in my career, whether it was in a golf tournament or not. I mean, Pebble Beach is obviously one of my favorites that you could ever play. I loved overseas, I played Old Head and Waterville. So there's so many courses. I would rather say, can I pick a hole and get 18 different holes? Because that would be, maybe I could say that to Jesus.
And Bob, one of those holes would have to be, I think, at National Golf Links or Shinnecock, wouldn't it?
Oh, you could pick any one of them. But one thing I got to tell you, Jason, in listening to your selection of who you would like to play with, you had Palmer and you had Jesus. That means there's two Jesuses playing in your foursome. I'm sure Arnold Palmer was just incredible. And I'll never forget, whenever we would reach out to shake hands, his hands were so big.
I heard that.
My hand would disappear. Quite a guy. I really knew him very well. Interviewed him when he finished his last round at the U.S. Open up at Oakmont. I started crying. He was crying. I said, Mr. Palmer, we got to stop because it looks all right for me to cry, but not you. And he got the biggest chuckle out of that. And he was a very, very, very good friend. And we got along well. And it's one of the greatest pleasures of my life to be friends with Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, I always wished I could have met him.
Hey, Jason, again, this was an absolute pleasure. Your story is one. You know, there have been some great shots and so forth in the world of golf this year, but your story over the breadth of 2024 ranks right up there. Jason Caron, thank you so much for being with us on Music Zone Golf.
It's my pleasure, and thank you again, guys. I really appreciate it.
Just like you, I want to look good and perform at my best on the golf course. And that's exactly why I wear the new WH golf shoes from William & Harry, and you should too. I love these golf shoes. They're made of deer skin and calf skin. They've got a soft gel insert, and the reinforced hardened soft spikes increase stability and balance. And I got to tell you, they are so incredibly comfortable. So head on over to williamandharry.com to check out the new WH golf shoe. Look your best, play your best with William & Harry. Bob, I hope everybody enjoyed that. I really I thought that was a terrific time that you and I had with Jason Caron. Learned a lot about him. And you have a better understanding of how someone can do what it really amounts to two jobs extremely well.
Yeah, really. And it's tough to do either job. And the fact that he's going to be doing two of them, he is to be congratulated. And what a shining star of the PGA of America Jason is.
Before we go, and next week we're really delighted with a special Thanksgiving show with with David Kent, PGA professional in Southwest Florida. His son Noah was the runner-up in the U.S. Amateur this past year. We're going to have both of them on. Really looking forward to that. Before we do that, though, just a complete changes to the 2026 PGA Tour. Smaller fields, you know, less players getting their cards down from 125 to 100. You have any initial thoughts on that, Bob? My thought is, they're doing this in large part because they want to keep a handful of guys from jumping to LIV Golf. I understand it. But I also think, this is just me, I think the PGA Tour is the creme de la creme. And I like the fact that better players, the ones who play well, are rewarded. I like the going from 125 to 100. That's just me.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Cal. The cream of the crop. You know, top 100 has a nice ring to it. So we can only wish them luck. It was interesting to note, just as a side note, Kelly, Donald Trump and Monahan actually played golf together. I mean, I find that almost unbelievable.
You know, politics aside, the president-elect, with his vast, not only knowledge of the game, but commitment to the game through all the clubs he owns, he might be able to broker. I know he's also spent some time with Yasser on the LIV side. Who knows? He might be able to broker something between the two sides. We just, some point, Bob, maybe it's 2026, but can we just have one big golf tour where the best players are playing week in and week out? I frankly don't care who brokers it. I just want to see all the best players playing more than four times a year, for goodness sakes.
Hallelujah to Kelly Elbin.
Robert Bufka and to Jason Caron again, thanks for joining us. Kelly Elbin signing off on Musings on Golf.